right, welcome to the Free Stretch. Bobby Fenton here, live. Well, live wherever you are listening to us on this beautiful week 10. As we get set for the Bucks and the Jets on Sunday afternoon. Here on Joe Bucks Fan, and I want to thank the Joes, as always, for hosting the Free Stretch. It's always a good time to record it. It's always a good time to get involved with the football team, aside from just sitting on my couch and watching the game every week. And oh, what an experience that has become lately. So, I was talking to a friend about, and this is before the game on Sunday against the Saints. This is actually last Friday night. Now, the friend will remain nameless. I won't involve him on the podcast. If he wants to be, I'll talk about him more down the road. But just a guy, you know, who's kind of like me, close to the same age, a little older than me, but has been following the Bucks since he was a young child in the late 70s, early 80s. Went on to have season tickets for a great number of years. Has since given up those tickets, but is still a huge diehard Bucks fan. Still gets into it, still watches every game, like a lot of us. And both of us have, and in fact, the reason I know this guy is our kids go to school together. You know, both of us have younger kids. My son is 6, my daughter is 2. He's got a son in my son's class, and his daughter is also younger. You know, point is, kind of the same type of Bucks viewing experience we get every Sunday, which is that it's kind of hard with kids now. I was talking to him on Friday night about how hard it is. You know, you work so hard all day on Sunday and Saturday night, honestly, to get ready for 1 p.m. on Sunday. Like, that's the magic hour, 1 p.m. on Sunday. And so you're trying to line everything up. You're trying to go outside with your kids on Sunday morning, play with them, get them tired. The young one, I try to get her on her nap so that she can go down about 12:45, you know, so that all of it lines up perfectly so I can sit down on Sunday at 1 p.m. and get to watch the Buck game without interruption, which if you don't have kids or you have older kids, you don't have to worry about this. But when you have that, these last few years have been tough on football season, let's put it that way. You know, it's not the same old, hey, let's settle in at noon and I'll see you at 1 a.m. tonight, just marathon. Like college football Saturdays, that's how it always was. Start at noon, boom, we're going all the way till that West Coast game after midnight and we're going straight through just football, football, football. Sunday, same thing. 1 o'clock games. Here come the 4 o'clock games, maybe a little dinner break, and we got Sunday night football. And when you have kids, it's not how it works anymore. You know, you got to do other stuff, and you got to be involved with them. And I'm not complaining. I like it. I don't want to sit in front of the TV my whole life for 12 hours a day. But the point I'm making is, like, Sunday at 1 is what everything is building to. And we were both talking about how much it sucks lately, and by lately, I mean the past several years, not just lately this year, about how you put in all that work and you try and get the kids to bed or the nap time or whatever it is, or try and get them lined up, maybe set one up with a movie on the upstairs TV or just everything you do so that you can watch the Bucks game in peace and really focus and enjoy it. And it's just, for what? I mean, the Bucks aren't just losing, but they're non-competitive 15 minutes into the game. And I mean 15 minutes of real time, not clock time. So, like, you've been watching the game, it's 1:15, and by 1:15, you can already tell it's going to be another crappy Sunday, another crappy Bucks game. They're not even going to be remotely competitive. And everybody's just waiting. I mean, it's a total and complete waste of time to invest anything in this football team. So, today on the podcast, I mean, I feel like I just did the same show last week. But here we go again with the Saints game, where the team is non-competitive. Unwatchable is the word that keeps coming up, and that's really what it is. Only now we've got more, because now we've crossed over into just... We've moved on from simply having a bad football team to now we've got the soap opera stuff, too. We've got the off-field stuff. Now we got Jameis Winston doing stuff on the sidelines. We got a wide receiver suspended, this, that, and the other. We got Dirk Cutter watching guys push and shove 5 feet from him, just standing there staring at it, whatever, no big deal. And people questioning whether he should be the leader of the team or not, which I already did last week, and several others already did last week, too. We didn't need the Saints debacle to do that, but now we got all that in addition to just being bad. So I will start with the good news first. And when I say good news, I just mean what is, in my opinion, encouraging. And there wasn't much. But I thought about this. Because Jameis Winston's in his third year now. It's obviously not going very well. There's always been people, you know, even from the moment he was drafted and certainly up into last season and the beginning of this season, who, you know, I just don't think this guy's the guy, blah, blah, blah. I used to look at those people like they were crazy. I was like, how can you not, I mean, I would always say if I was starting a draft right now, an NFL draft where everyone's eligible, not just rookies, and you're drafting the whole league, I've been fond of saying the past couple years, Jameis Winston's a top five pick right now. The whole league, like, you know, you might want Tom Brady for this year or, you know, Drew Brees or someone like that for this one year. But going ahead, like looking ahead the next decade, I couldn't think of very many guys in the entire league I'd want more than Winston. And for me, after what has happened, that is all still true. Some people have been down on him for a while. I get friends texting me every week. This guy sucks, dude. He's not the guy. He can't do this or that. I think they're crazy. I think they're crazy. First of all, he hasn't been that bad. For as bad as this whole thing has been so far this year, he hasn't personally been that bad. Second of all, even if you want to say and argue, yeah, he has been that bad, let's look at some things real quick, okay? And we forget how young Winston is. We forget how young he was when we drafted him. Even as we speak right now, okay, Jameis Winston has a birthday coming up at the end of the season. His birthday is January the 6th. He was born January the 6th, 1994. That means on January the 6th, 2018, wild card weekend, by the way, which we won't be a part of, but on January 6th, 2018, Jameis Winston turns 24 years old, okay? So that means right now, if you look at Tom Brady, who was born on August 3rd, 1977, right now as we speak, when Tom Brady was this same age Jameis Winston is, what had Tom Brady done in his NFL career? Literally, he had never started an NFL game. At the same age Jameis Winston is now, Tom Brady was in training camp in August of 2001, getting ready to embark on the season as Bledsoe's backup, which eventually that 2001 season would give way to Brady starting after Bledsoe was hurt midway through the year, not midway through, a few games into the year. And so Tom Brady was about, you know, 2 months or a month and a half shy of starting his first ever NFL game at the same exact age Jameis Winston is right now. And I'm saying that not to excuse anything Winston did on Sunday, which we're going to get to. I'm saying that because, again, and let me stop for a second. I am not saying Jameis Winston is Tom Brady, okay? I'm just using Tom Brady as an example. I'm not saying the two guys are going to be the same or the same now or anything. We don't know what Jameis Winston's going to be yet. But he's really young. And he's still, even he's in his third year now. He feels like a veteran. That's the thing. He's been playing with them for three seasons as the starter. This is the third season. And so that makes you very used to him as the starter, very used to saying his name. I mean, he's a household name. And he gets held to the same standard as all the NFL starting quarterbacks do. And I understand that. But really, think about it. At this exact same age, Tom Brady had not yet started his first ever game in the National Football League. And he was only one season into that career, and he'd been a backup the whole year, okay? So, if you look at it that way, or at least if I look at it that way, I'm thinking to myself, you know, basically, we can look at 2018, not 2017, but 2018, almost as like a brand new start. Like, Winston gets to have the benefit of being almost a rookie, as far as his age is concerned, only he gets 3 years of NFL experience under his belt to still be that rookie. And so, it's way too early. I mean, to me, it's absurd to talk about, oh, well, we know what we've got in Winston. We're moving on. First of all, again, even if you do think we know what we've got, which we don't, even if you do think we know what we've got, he is still better than any quarterback we've had around here for, I can't even think. Second of all, again,
you got to think of him as more of a blank canvas than he is. 3 years into the league, or two, let's call it 2.5, you know, this year's not over yet. 2.5 years into the league, you feel like you've got a lot of stuff on a guy and that you've kind of figured out who he is, but he's really young. And so, just I'm talking strictly as a quarterback right now, the book is still almost entirely to be written, in my opinion. And what we've seen in the book so far is pretty okay. Now, does that excuse his behavior on Sunday? No. You know, that whole thing that happened on the sideline, sticking his finger in the back of a guy's helmet, all right, no excuse for that. At any age, I mean, his age mitigates some things, but you know, he was the reason that whole thing started. He's the reason Mike Evans is suspended now for a game for coming to his defense. You know, you want to yell and chatter and run junk from the sideline a little bit, that's fine. Although starting quarterbacks don't even typically do that. But okay, you know, Jameis Winston's a different cat. And even pointing at the guy to tell him, go to the other sideline, get out of here, leave. Even that, okay, fine. Zero reason to actually take that extra step he took toward the guy, stick his finger on the back of his helmet, and start a whole thing. No reason for that. There's no reason for any player on the sideline to be doing that. Because you know, it's not like, oh, the guy's going to be like, oh, okay, I'll walk away now. You know it's going to start a whole thing, and it's not going to be good. But especially no excuse for the quarterback to be doing that. You have to be above that. Which I would hope Jameis Winston realizes by now. Now, there's been a lot of stuff going around on Twitter all week. You know, showing the clip of that little pregame speech where he's crossing his fingers and like making a W, like I'm going to eat a W, all that. That's been done to death now. Let me say something about that real quick. All that matters with this stuff is winning and losing. Is his little pregame rant every week extremely corny? Of course it is. Is it completely contrived and forced? Like, hey, the cameras are here, I'm the quarterback. Let me show what a leader, I'm the leader of these guys. Let me do a little something. Of course it's contrived and put on. It's ridiculous. And you see the reactions of the guys standing around him. They're all just kind of standing there like, all right, Jameis is going to do his thing. Let me just nod or something. And that's at the least awkward time. The most awkward times, like Sunday, there's some more confused looks. But he was doing this stuff last year too, and the Bucs were 9-7, which isn't good. It's, you know, a winning team, a winning season. Something that people got excited about every Sunday and said, hey, let's see what happens this week. What can this team do? And now you start out 2-6 like they started out, and of course it's the dumbest thing alive. And it is dumb. Like, it's almost like a stand-up comedian or almost like a radio talk show host. I mean, I've done radio for many years, sometimes 3 hours a day, sometimes 5 hours a day, and there's a lot of times when you feel like you've got to say something and you don't have anything to say. I mean, Jameis Winston, deep down inside, might just want to buckle his chin strap and say, all right, guys, let's go play, you know? But he can't do, he feels like he can't do that. He feels like he's got to do his little thing every Sunday now before the game. And again, it's extremely stupid a lot of times. But it was also extremely stupid a lot of other times when they've been winning and we just didn't notice. So people trying to read too much into that, as weird and dumb as it was, admittedly, it doesn't ultimately have anything to do with anything. And it doesn't ultimately have to do with his fate as a starting quarterback in the NFL or his future of his career or anything like that. So I think people made too much of a big deal about that, even though, again, I completely agree how dumb it is. And listen, I never played football at that level. I've played high school football. I've played a little bit of amateur semi-pro football with the Dunedin Pirates, which I still play to this day at age 37. Real Tackle Football, DunedinPirates.com. Check it out. You can come take my job at safety next week if you want to buckle your chin strap and get out there and play some real football. We're still taking players. Season doesn't start till January. Check out DunedinPirates.com. But anyway, the point is, I never played at that level, but when I did play football, I always thought all the rah-rah stuff was dumb. You know, I didn't bang my head against a locker. I didn't do any pregame chants or cheers. I was always the guy cracking one-liners, you know, and there's always a couple of those, like, annoying backup types. You know, like, smart-ass. I was always the smart-ass. Me and my buddy Drew Carter, he was a center, I was a wideout. We were both backups, both wise-asses, both making crack, that type of kid. That's who I was. And again, I'm not comparing that to playing in the NFL, but I'm saying a lot of guys don't need that stuff, and some guys it gets them up, and that's fine. I wouldn't read too much into it either way. And as far as his behavior on the sideline, that's correctable. In fact, you saw his post-game interview, and people were tweeting that around, talking about how like all of a sudden the country accent was gone. Jameis was talking like completely contrite and normal. Like he wasn't doing the whole, hey, man, I'm Jameis. You know, he wasn't doing any of that anymore. Like he had kind of had that beaten out of him. People said, oh, he looks like he's just beaten down. He's lost the spark. Again, it was a bad day, bad game. After the game, he was contrite, maybe a little embarrassed. I'm not sure. I'm not going to speak for Jameis Winston, but again, I think people read into that all that stuff way too much. Jameis Winston will be fine. He has not even reached 24 years old yet. A lot of guys have not even begun their career, much less starting 2.5 full seasons. And that means in 2018, we're getting, again, the benefit of rookie youth, but not rookie experience. This is all experience for him. As far as the shoulder goes, and I tweeted this during the game on Sunday, and they ended up doing it, you know, a few days later, but yeah, I mean, completely shut him down for all of 2017 if you need to. I know he doesn't want that. And if he ends up really, truly being fine in a few weeks, then okay, great, come back. But if there's any doubt of anything whatsoever, I mean, go 100% into rehabbing your shoulder for the next 9 months if you have to. You know, till July training camp or whatever OTAs it is, you know, 6 months. The point is, nothing matters right now. Like, 2017 does not matter at all. And so, once you free yourself of that, you start looking ahead, maybe you stop freaking out a little bit. But that doesn't mean there's no reason to freak out, because let's go to this. Where are we as a franchise right now? Again, there's some good news and bad news. I mean, the good news is they've got a lot of decent players. They should be better than they are, and they're not completely nowhere. And of course, they've got the one guy that it's hard to get, and that's the quarterback. That's another reason I was thinking this the other day. Like, I mean, teams, we know how the NFL works. All these teams. Where the quarterback is everything, and it's so hard to come up with that guy. It's so hard to find that guy. And there's only, you know, what is it, 6 or 7 of them that are truly, like, in the entire 32-team league, 6 or 7 of them that are truly where a team says, hey, this guy, we got this guy, we're good to go, let's go, that's it. You know, there's very few of them. Even some of the ones that have won and are winning aren't necessarily that guy. So, the Bucs get not a rare opportunity, rare doesn't do it justice, they get a generational opportunity a few years ago. They happen to be just terrible enough in just the perfect year that one of these guys comes along, and they get him. And this is another reason why I just marvel at people who want to move on from Winston. Where do you want to go? How do you think this works? I mean, maybe they'll happen again, just lightning will strike again, the Bucs will be picking second or third or something this year. But, you know, you have to be picking really high, get one of those guys. I mean, you don't have to be. I know there's more than one way to skin a cat, but in the NFL, these quarterbacks typically, yeah, you're really bad. You get that guy, and then you find him, and you've got him, and it has to work out. So that's my point with Jameis Winston. They were just terrible enough in that 1 year when Jameis Winston was there. There he is. Guys, this really needs to work. Like, that's the thing I'm trying to tell you. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not saying we know for sure, but, like, you people out there, and I'm talking to my own buddies, much less all you listening, that are always calling me up or texting me saying, Winston sucks, screw him, move on. How do you think this works? What, you go get another one? Jameis Winston, this whole thing really needs to work. Like, it really needs to work. Because if it doesn't, we are nowhere. Then we're nowhere, okay? We're not nowhere right now. We're bad nowhere. If this whole Jameis Winston thing, we're nowhere, okay? And you can't just casually toss a guy, screw him, he sucks. I mean, maybe you're convinced he does, and I guess if you are, there's no convincing you otherwise, but, like, again, I'll say it one more time. This really needs to work with Jameis Winston, and he is not yet 24, and I don't think he's been all that bad, even this year. especially when you look at all the other problems this team has, which we're going to get to in a minute. So it all worked out that perfect time we got the guy, and yet, I think the approach the Bucks need to take, here's the approach I would take. First of all, I don't believe Dirk Cutter is the guy or the staff. I'm curious about Jason Light, too. I'm not going to talk about Gruden or anything right now because there's nothing to substantiate anything with Gruden other than just an idea. And I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility either. I admit I've thought about it. I'm not usually a splash guy like, hey, let's think about this crazy scenario just because of how cool it would be. I don't think Gruden is necessarily realistic right now, but it's not something I would totally dismiss. What I keep coming back to with Gruden is it's still the Glazers who let him go, and even though, you know, a lot of other things about this franchise are different now than they were almost 10 years ago, it's still ultimately going back to work for bosses who fired you, and they fired him, and now nothing has changed. Why would they have him back? And I'm not saying they wouldn't. They would. I'm saying for Gruden, it just feels like it's out of the realm of really being concrete. But I've thought about it. And if it gets to the point where that's something that's realistically worth talking about, we will. But whoever it is or whatever it is, I don't think Cutter's the guy. I don't think he'll keep his job if this team ends up, they're 2-6 now. Let's say they end up, and even 5-11 seems ambitious going, 3-5 the final eight. But let's say they do 5-11, 4-12 with this roster, which again, maybe isn't as good as we thought it was, but certainly I don't see how you go 4-12, 5-11 with this roster and stick around. Especially considering everything that's already happened. So, it's not like the Bucks need to do something to get ready to win in 2018. I know this sucks to hear as fans. It's already sucked for me to just convince myself of it. But we really are in a stage where now the Bucks need to start looking ahead multiple years. Now, I know it sucks, but... And I also know, and in the NFL, things turn around so quickly. I mean, I could sound like a complete idiot 1 year from now when the Bucks were 6-2 and, leading the NFC South and have one of the buys after the first half of that season. Maybe that'll happen, okay? But to me, it feels like there's a process now that we have to undergo. Again, yes, I know, again, to not waste what we have in Jameis Winston. And so I would start working on that process now, the decision the Glazers have to make. And by the way, just, not spoiler alert, the Glazers have made pretty bins since they've been in charge. I'm not talking about the old man. Since it's been the young guys, since it's been the boys, they've hired bad people, they've made poor decisions. I mean, again, I keep coming back to the uniforms. I know people don't care about uniforms, or some people don't. I do, but it's exemplary. It's indicative. Look at the uniforms this team wears on the field every Sunday. Like, the Glazer sons thought this team needed to do that. Like, they thought, hey, this is a good idea. Let's do this. Nobody who's a good decision maker, nobody who has sound judgment, nobody I trust would do something like that. I mean, the uniforms are so patently, ridiculously ugly. And I know it might sound dumb to some of you, like, what is Bobby trying to talk about uniforms? This is a football podcast. It's indicative. They don't make good decisions. They don't hire good people. They have failed multiple times on multiple fronts doing that. And I'm not optimistic they'll do it again. I hope I'm wrong. But they're not going anywhere. You're not replacing owners. They're owners. If they do move on from Dirk Cutter... and or Jason Light, let's hope they find the right people, whoever it is, Gruden notwithstanding. But that's where we're at right now. I mean, look at this team. Look at this team up front. It all starts, I know it's a cliche, but it all starts up front. Our offensive line is so bad, to me, that it's hard to really evaluate. I mean, I can't say, oh, DeSean Jackson, he's been a butt. I can't say, oh, Jameis Winston. Even the running backs, Doug Martin, whatever, Sims, this, that, and the... I mean, every time the ball is snapped, at the point of the ball being snapped, the play is already almost over. Every time, they're terrible up front. They are terrible up front. Running backs, you can't evaluate, oh, he's not hitting this hole or that. They get the ball, there's nowhere to run, all right? Football's very complicated. There's a lot to it. It can be, at least, but it's also not that complicated.
And I'm not an NFL-level coach or an NFL-level football mind or anything like that, but you can see, I mean, watching the games, right? I mean, you guys can see it, too.
This team is so bad up front, it completely invalidates any type of evaluation process of the other people on the offense. And on the defense, it's the same way. Again, up front. There's no pass rush. I know we rip on the secondary, and, oh, this corner did the, you know, or Quan Alexander played well, but he missed a tackle. Levante did. How can you evaluate any of that? A badass pass rush, a badass front four, changes the perception of the entire defense. So those two units right there, offensive side, defensive side, both up front, they're so bad. I mean, they are so bad that, to me, I feel kind of silly talking about anything else. And that's where we're at right now. And that has to be rebuilt from the inside out. And again, it's easy for me to sit here recording a podcast and say all this. I mean, most of us can see it. How do you do it and how long does it take? Well, I think it takes a little while. And they've done some good. I mean, no expenses hurt, but that was a good step forward. There's going to need to be others. And it's, if you look at the offensive line, DeMar Dotson's been decent. Donovan Smith, Pamphiel, no. But DeMar Dotson's been okay. I mean, even better than okay. He's been pretty good. He's actually been one of the better players up there. And a few others. But if you look at this team overall, up front, both sides. Oh, Amar Pett, I forgot. I'm pretty decent at center. Smith, terrible. Pamphiel, terrible. Sweezy, terrible. Not the guys they thought they were getting. Not the guys they thought they had. And again, how quickly you can rebuild that? Until you do? I mean, again, rip Jameis all you want. Rip DeSean Jackson. O.J. Howard had a bad fumble, although he's been pretty good. Rip the corners, rip the safeties, rip the linebackers. We suck up front. And when you suck up front, you don't just get beat. You look like you have no chance to win. I mean, the Bucs have lost games before, but hell, it was entertaining. They're just getting completely pushed around now. Where you turn the game on, and you're watching the game, realizing as you're watching it, there's no chance that I'm going to be happy by the end of doing this. And that's not how you want to feel as football fans. I will say something else about my unnamed friend from the beginning of the show here that we talked about. He dropped his season tickets. He has no plans to renew them, okay? He did say, I'll tell you what, I don't know a lot of things about our coach and search or who it's going to be or if we're even going to fire Cutter, but he said if we get John Gruden back, he's like, I'll renew my season tickets then. He's like, there's almost no way I'll ever renew my season tickets. But if we sign John Gruden as the coach again somehow, he said, I will happily renew. I'll renew that day. And I bet you a lot of you out there feel the same way. And I don't know if that's what the Glazers are thinking or not. I don't know if that's a good reason to do something like hire John Gruden, if he even wanted to. I'm just pointing that out. That's anecdotal data I'm giving you from talking to people I know. Maybe you have some of that same data talking to people you know. I no longer care about each game week to week. Neither should you. All right? It doesn't matter what happens in the Jets game this weekend. I went through this as a host when I was still working in radio over at 620. I used to host the Bucs post-game show. Like the Bucs game would be on with Gene Deckerhoff and Dave Moore, TJ Reeves. They do a great job. I still listen to those guys sometimes, even when the games are on TV. I put the sound down, put them on. Then the official post-game show would come on. And then after that show, then I would come on. And I did that during the Raheem Morris years. And I remember that final year with Raheem Morris very, very vividly and coming in every Sunday. And we're getting into that territory now where they weren't just getting beat. But, I mean, remember they'd be getting beat like it'd be 38-0 at halftime. I mean, just college football, like guarantee game level ass kickings. And it got to the point every week where I kept coming in to do the show and I was like, and I like Raheem Morris. I mean, I still like Raheem Morris. And I never advocate for somebody to be fired unless it's almost plainly obvious they should be anyway. Like, I'm never going to be the guy out in front of a fire so-and-so argument, ever. But I remember coming in every Sunday evening doing that show, and I would take calls, you know, and one day I want to get to a point where I can take calls on this podcast, or at least, you know, and people have emailed me and stuff. But, man, after a while I kept saying, listen, forget about today's game, whatever game it happened to be. I'd say, forget about the game. Don't even worry about the game. Let's look at the overall big picture stuff. Where is the franchise? It almost was like the confidence meter that Joe runs every week on the website. And after a while, it became plainly obvious that Raheem Morris wasn't going to be the coach anymore. And it's the same way now. I mean, I tweeted this the other day. You know, usually you're pretty sure when you have the guy. And if you're kind of not sure, or if it's looking like you don't have the guy, you probably don't have the guy. But firing coaches, it's actually usually a good thing. I've heard the argument about continuity, and oh man, first it was Schiano, Ra, Schiano, then Lovey. These guys are here today, gone tomorrow. There's no continuity. Well, continuity is, it's a chicken or egg thing. You have continuity because you hired a good person, not because you said, screw it, let's keep this guy anyway. That's not continuity. All right? And another thing, how often do teams fire a coach and regret it later? Like, how often and it's happened before, I'm not saying never, but usually you fire a coach, you're not like, oh man, we really blew, you know what? If I had anything to have that one back, man, we could have kept that guy. I mean, usually once you fire a guy, it wasn't going to work out. And that's where I am with Cutter. Whenever you're getting into the territory of this should we or shouldn't we stuff, you're pretty much already there, in my opinion. Because when you have the guy, it's usually pretty obvious pretty soon. And so, to me, that's that. But go ahead, people should get fired more often in football. Why not? How many of all the coaches that have gotten fired, how many come back and it's, oh man, this guy really shouldn't have been fired. I mean, he ended up being really good. And yeah, I know Belichick was with the Browns before the Patriots. I'm aware of that. But it's not, I mean, if you close your eyes, do you really see Dirk Cutter, you know, giving a press conference the week of the Super Bowl? Or even the week of a conference championship game, like, oh, our team is ready, we're going to, you know, he's not that guy, we're not going anywhere this way. I know, I can tell that already, so why? What are we waiting on? I mean, I'm not saying do it in the season, because they're not going to do anything in the season, nor should they. It doesn't really help anything. It's not like college, where you got to get a jump on recruiting, or this candidate might get sealed up by this. You know who the candidates are, or at least you should have an idea of who they are. I mean, in college, they talk about athletic directors always have a list of coaches, always, who they, if at any time something happened, they could go after for their new coach. You know, the Glazers should have that too. And it's an ever-evolving list, but they should have that too. I got an email this week from one of our listeners, and I wanted to just read it real quick. He goes by Pizza Lover. But he said, Bobby, love your podcast, respect your level-headed thoughts. Thank you, Pizza Lover. And he wrote this right after the game with the Saints this past week. He says, I have to ask, at what point do we get to just blame the players on the field? It seems no matter who's coaching the team, our defense seems to give up at a certain point of adversity. At what point do we get to stop blaming the coaches and actually blame the players in the field? He asks if I can touch on this. He says, I'm seeing missed assignments all over the field on offense and defense, and that's not on the coaching staff, in my opinion. That's all the players. I'm sick of hearing about fire this coach and that coach. These guys haven't forgotten how to call games. They've done it successfully for years. All right, so let me address what he's saying real quick. First of all, I understand where he's coming from. I really do. And you can always blame the players. The players are always the first ones to blame. So even as people like me are saying the coaches are to blame for X, Y, or Z, I'm not absolving the players just because I'm saying that. The players always come first. There's only 11 people on the field. And those 11 people, you know, players play, coaches coach. I get all that. But second of all, missed assignments, all this, the stuff that you're seeing, that actually is coaching. Like, that is coaching. When the Bucks get to the line and there's like 6 procedure penalties in the first quarter, and they can barely run a series without having, I mean, just watching it is painful. Forget about the penalties costing us yards. It's just painful to watch. It's so herky-jerky. Oh, this guy went in motion too soon. Now this guy jumped. Now we're using a timeout. I mean, like, it's a clown show. Like, it's a total clown show watching this team work. Hell yes, that's coaching. That is 1,000% coaching, first of all. That doesn't mean it's not the players. Yes, pizza lover, you're right. But it's coaching. Second of all, as to what you're saying about people giving up and, you know, I'm not arguing that either. We need new everything. That's what's so vexing about this. It's not even like the Bucks have one bad unit, like, oh man, the offense has been doing it, but the defense just keeps letting them down. Some weeks it's been that way. Some weeks the defense actually did okay, and the Bucks offense can't whiz a drop. It's pretty disheartening. It's, you know, there's no easy answers. We're not going to figure it out on today's podcast, I promise you. You know, you can look at certain things where I think we're okay, and that's what I was talking about with Winston earlier, where I still think that's a strength. But there's a big, big, big project ahead of whoever is around here this offseason. Maybe it's the same guys, maybe not. And that, from top to bottom, no, I'm not absolving the players just because I blame the coaches. And no, I'm not absolving the coaches just because I absolve the players. And no, I'm not absolving Jason Light for either of them. And I'm sure as hell not absolving the Glazers for any of it. And I don't know what to do about it. Neither do you. Neither do they. Okay? Or it would have already been done. But whatever it is, in my opinion, I can tell you what I would try and do. I mean, I would look at Jameis Winston almost like a new rookie, like a born-again rookie. Like, you hear about born-again Christians, you hear about born-again virgins. I would try, that'd be my motto this offseason for Jameis Winston. Hey, let's make you a born-again rookie. We're going to clean this up, okay? It's going to take time, but we have time because you're not even 24 yet. He's not! You've got 3 years of starting experience, and you're not even 24 yet. That's good. That's a positive. We're going to build on that, the fact that we get to have you in basically what's other guys' rookie year, but for you, you've got all this, you know, you've got a book built up in your mind and for us as coach. We have a book on you. You have a book on the league. But you're still kind of a rookie as far as age. You're still a puppy, and he is. Don't let yourself forget that. He's not 24 yet. And I would try and just bulk up front, both sides of the team, both sides of the roster. And, I mean, again, you need good personnel people. You need good everything that they don't have right now. I would try to find that. That'd be the first thing I would do. I'd already be working on it. And maybe they are. But I would be working on... And I know Justin, on his podcast, has been talking about the Bucks need a team president. You know, it's not enough to have a coach and a GM. You need a team president to make tough decisions about the coach and the GM. I'd certainly rather have a team president than the Glazers doing that stuff, to be honest with you. So it's not a bad idea at all. But that's where we're at right now. As far as the Bucks-Jets this Sunday, I don't have a lot to say about it. I hope Ryan Fitzpatrick does well. I hope the Bucks win. But honestly, you know, I'm kind of numb right now to all that stuff. If the Carolina game the week before last didn't put it over the top, the Saints game certainly did. We've reached the numb stage of 2017. Congratulations. With all that said, you know where my ass will be Sunday at 1. Well, I might go to the game this week, but even if I don't go to the game, I'll be right in front of the TV watching. I ain't gonna miss a play. Never do. I hope you don't either. Thanks to the Joes for hosting the podcast, as always. Email me like Pizza Lover did, and Pizza Lover, thanks for your email. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. Twitter, at Bobby Game Day. You got your 280 characters now if you need to ask me an extensive question. And as always, if you want to get off the sidelines and play a little ball yourself, because we can talk all day, buckle a chin strap, put on some shoulder pads, and come with me out there to practice with the Dunedin Pirates. We got a game coming up December 16th you can suit up for. You can play a football game. If you want to get in there now and start showing up at practice, ask me about it in the email or just go to DunedinPirates.com. I'm dead serious. This is an 18 and over amateur football league, Florida Football Alliance. It's been around for a long time. Ernest Givens is our head coach, former Oilers wide receiver. You'll learn more about football in 3 practices, I know I do, than all the stuff, talk radio, anything. It's fantastic. With all that said, go Bucks. I'm not going anywhere. As always, as long as I'm alive, I'm a Bucks fan. I know you might be. Hopefully you are too. That's the free stretch for Week 10. Good afternoon, good evening, good night. Go Bucks. I'm Bobby Fenton.